Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Basically, Buddhism began in India. And you know, India was a culture with Hinduism, etc., that involved a lot of gods and different kinds of celebrations. And then Buddhism, again, simply went to China. And it was in China where one of the branches of Buddhism became Zen Buddhism. And then that went to Europe, to other places in the East, and then eventually came to the U.S. And one of the traditions that's been carried over through time is the issue of reincarnation. And so I'm going to read a few things that I have found. The basic idea is that life doesn't really end, that we die, and this is my cynical part, but in some way we re-inhabit a new body so that there's sort of this continuation through time. And that is, as I read here, it says that after you die, your true essence leaves your body and enjoys a post-mortem continued existence. Well, certainly it's a fascinating subject, sort of, when I was thinking of this, sort of fun to explore this, since I have no idea about it. See, for me, in all the history and all the time that I've spent as a Zen student, I've never had any of those kinds of experiences or flashes. It's been sort of a flat tire, that particular aspect of my practice. So just for the heck of it, I thought I would just talk about it a little bit. So one of the things that the literature focuses on, like you were saying, Carol, is Tibetan Buddhism. And in Tibetan Buddhism, there are sort of any number of stories about deeply enlightened lamas returning and being verified by the Dalai Lama at that particular time. And there are these stories that I've read and you hear about, where a mother who's giving childbirth suffers no pain in childbirth, and then the room where this is taking place is filled with this sort of electric energy, and the baby grows into childhood. And this is another thing which I'll talk about later, but when reading this stuff, it's always a he. So when the baby grows into childhood, he demonstrates spiritual knowledge beyond his years. So then the question is, I guess for us, is what is the Zen view of reincarnation? And so a monk once asked his teacher, is there life after death? And the teacher responded, I don't know. So these stories always go this way, these little teaching stories. And so what happens is the monk becomes agitated, right? It's always the case. And that furthers the story. So the monk becomes agitated, and he said, he doesn't quit. He just doesn't accept that answer is not good enough. So he becomes agitated and said, you are a renowned Zen master, respected far and wide for your insight and wisdom. You have followers throughout the provinces. How can you not answer this question? And as also occurs, the Zen master doesn't say anything right away. So the Zen master sits there quietly for a number of seconds. And he replies, yes, but I'm not dead yet. So I would imagine from that answer, the student maintained his agitation. So this idea of reincarnation implies some, and I'm going to use reincarnation to cover the whole thing. So it implies some kind of enduring self which incarnates. And this is from a Dogen scholar from the San Francisco Zen Center. He says, as we know from our teachings, there is no self. The self is created by our mind to help us function in the relative world. Now, I've talked ad nauseum about this, but I think it's important, and I think it's important that we keep reminding ourselves not to take ourself too seriously. And so there's this relative self, which is a figment of our imagination and is not concrete like it feels. And so we know in Zen that we ask, or a teacher will ask the student, tell me, who are you? And that question is not really seeking to determine her occupation, a salary, or a place of residence, opinions, beliefs, etc. It's asking her, who are you if there is no self? So Dogen wrote in the Genjo Koan, firewood, after becoming ash, does not again become firewood. And implied in this metaphor is dead, and there is no returning. Now, that's a very simplistic understanding. Dogen goes on into much more detail about this, but I'm using this as a metaphor for living and dying. So Stephen Batchelor, who I think most of you know, Stephen Batchelor writes that Zen and Vipassana pay little attention to the doctrine of rebirth, emphasizing instead living more fully in the present moment. And a lot of the traditions, and I would say this comes up in Zen, not specifically in relation to reincarnation, but we talk about dying into each moment, right? That each moment is a new and fresh moment. And it's not necessarily reincarnation, but what it means is we can change and develop and evolve through our lifetime. You know, it's not stagnant, but it's alive. And so these changes, it has been expressed in Zen that, so I've died from who I was yesterday, and now today I'm a teacher talking about reincarnation, and a teacher who yesterday did not have a popcorn stomach. So I've evolved in that way also. Now it moves into science, which, you know, I'm not steeped in, but there was a guy named Tim Lott, Aeon Magazine. And so he wrote that the doctrine of reincarnation can be more accurately thought about as a constant rebirth and death throughout life, a continual coming and going of universal energy with which we are all a part. He continues, science sees phenomenon at a subatomic level, popping in and out of existence in a quantum froth. I love that. A quantum froth. That's so beautiful. So one energy body changing constantly, not inside or out anything else. And it occurred to me that what he's doing in this scientific way is talking about form and emptiness. So there's nothing romantic about this scientific view. It simply is. It's the way things are. So the conclusion is when living, be alive, and when dead, be dead. So Ryokan, one of his last poems before he died, his life is like a dewdrop, empty and fleeting. My years are gone, and now, quivering and frail, I must fade away. So I have a couple of thoughts about this reincarnation. It takes place usually in a particular, well, not usually, but in a political and social setting. And one of the ways we could look at the reincarnation of lamas is that having the position of a lama is a position of authority. And these societies are patriarchal. So what better way to maintain your authority than to have lamas keep repeating and being verified by other lamas as being lamas, right? It sort of maintains the social stability in terms of that. It's also patriarchal. So you never hear, at least I haven't, of a female lama, Dalai Lama. Or lama, I've never heard of it, but there may be. So it serves a purpose to perpetuate a particular line of men who exist in control of a particular religious part of culture that they have, and probably affect the political as well. So, again, as I said before, one of the things that keeps coming up for me is these things that are written about this are all written in terms of men. This happened to him. He did this. So it's sort of glaring, that absence of the female perspective or energy. But again, this is a patriarchal system. Well, that's also why I wrote that chant about the women of Zen. In the Zen world, I think we're really waking up to that. Thank you for listening.